Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Business continuity planning is probably the single most important leadership topic right now. If you think about it, it's packed with some of the most difficult decisions leaders will ever have to make. I mean, decisions about when, where, or how to reintegrate a workforce safely. You've got this mounting economic pressure. You know, you've got this unpredictable environment as well. But while leaders are busy with 1,001 things as economies around the world reopen, they might have forgotten about one thing: developing a work-from-home strategy. Now, many would think that this strategy is straightforward with a person just working from home. It can get complicated if you think about it when it comes to deciding, you know, who gets to work from home and who doesn't. So how can leaders and companies decide who should work from home? Is there a fair way of doing that? How can a company's culture impact its work-from-home strategy? Well, on the line with me this morning is Kanika Singh, who is Regional Director, Southeast Asia and Japan for Gallup. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for taking the time, Kanika. Let's talk about Gallup. And you guys have recently come up with a research titled A Leader's Guide to Developing a Work-from-Home Strategy. Work from home for dummies. could you tell us about this research? I find it quite fascinating.
Yeah, so at Gallup, actually, we've been studying like the attitudes and behaviors of people for about 80 years now. And so as we went through this pandemic and everything that was happening, one of the things we realized is that leaders are facing the decision of deciding things that they have never decided before. It's very important decisions with many very minimal information. So that actually prompted us to come up with this research around work from home strategy, because if you think about the last few months due to COVID-19, the whole world has worked from home. It's the largest work from home experiment as compared to ever before. So that's kind of prompted our research on this topic.
But I mean, as a leader being faced to make this decision, that's one thing. Realizing how important is it, you know, how important to develop this strategy, that's another thing. Are we seeing an increase in this realization?
Yes, that's right. So actually, leaders are starting to think about this, because the aspect that is facing the workplace is that employees have all gone back home, and whichever employee could work from home worked from home in the last 2 months. Mm-hmm. Now, the real opportunity for leaders is to decide who should come back to work and when, because as we reopen in phases in different countries and different levels of reopening stages, depending on your industry. So it's really important for leaders to decide which roles should come back to work.
Right, right. In your opinion, you know, what makes a good strategy when it comes to deciding who should come back home from work?
Yeah, so I think at Gallup, from our research, we found out there are about four things that leaders can take as, you know, guiding principles when it comes to building your own work from home strategy.
Sure.
The first is considering about your culture. The second is considering about the role itself, like what the role requires. The third is about the team that they are, you know, going to be working in. And then lastly, about the individual that's involved in this process.
Well, when you say culture, you're talking about the company culture.
Yes, that's right.
So, what kind of impact does that play then?
Yeah, so the company culture is going to play a very unique impact, because if you think about it, any decision that companies are taking during this period is in the limelight, not just for their employees, but their customers, their investors, how the communities feel about their brand. So really taking a decision that's aligned to their culture will be critical. So if you think about, you know, recent times, unfortunately, for example, there have been a lot of layoffs. If you look at even Airbnb kind of companies, or locally at Grab, unfortunately, they've had to take some tough decisions. Yeah. But explaining that, you know, why they took that decision or how authentic they were through it can really change how employees and customers feel about the brand.
That can be a double-edged sword as well, because if you as a company have not enforced good company culture, or at least, you know, people, you've not allowed your staff to really understand that company culture, then this tactic wouldn't work, because as an employee, I can't quite identify with the culture to begin with.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's a good opportunity for companies as well to display their values and culture during this period by being more authentic, by sharing more information, and transparency is the keyword here.
Okay.
So, for example, if you're going to have people work remotely, what's the reasons? Is it cost savings? Is it, you know, you're trying to save jobs with people? Really being more authentic and transparent would be the keywords here.
Mm. Let's talk about the role considerations. This is an interesting one. I understand Gallup has identified sort of filters for organizations to decide which roles are optimal for work from home and, you know, which are not. Could you tell us about these filters?
Yeah, I think there's some three key filters that would be critical to identifying which roles can work from home. The first is almost like a red-green light. So really, can the employee perform their duties on an, you know, off-site, right? So can they perform their duties from home? So that's almost like a red-green light, right? But the other two criteria are almost like a spectrum. So the first one is really about how well the role is defined. So, you know, are the processes, what's expected in the role, is it defined clearly? And the second one would be that how interdependent is the work in that role? So how much do you need to interact with others? What information do you need on an ongoing basis? Those would be the three criteria for deciding or filtering your roles as you look through it.
And obviously, you know, with that comes explanation from the organization to ensure that employees are able to see that this is conducted in a fair manner, or this assessment is conducted in a fair manner.
Yes, that's right. So I think data becomes critical when we look through it.
Okay.
So understanding and going through how people are feeling about their roles, what kind of information you are gathering and what analytics you're using in the process, that's going to be critical to how people feel as well.
It's a bit complicated when it comes to team performance. Take, for example, this show. If you think about it, yes, it can be done from home. It'll be a little bit more troublesome, but it's going to affect the performance between the presenters and the producers. Not every team can thrive in that virtual work environment. And what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, that's right. So actually, we need to really look at it from a team setting of, you know, what works for that team specifically. So, you know, Gallup Research, we've been researching workplace needs and performance needs for over 2 decades now. And from all our research, we know that there are 12 critical needs that people have in the workplace. So when we look at those needs and we try to identify the specific scenario for the team, for example, if, you know, you have teams that really need that materials and equipment ready for you know, doing their job smoothly, for example, the connectivity could be in this case that you gave me an example. So then they need to get back in the workplace first, right? Whereas there could be other teams that are actually doing fine and maybe they need to continue working from home and, you know, teach other teams how they're doing that. So there could really be a lot of variation. So measuring that team level engagement, as we call it, could really help here.
Kanika, you brought up another interesting scenario as well, because I'm noticing more and more now that the world has accepted this whole work from home. You know, if a company is behind in terms of preparing their staff to work from home, they are rushing to make sure this can be done. You never know if there's going to be a second wave of COVID-19. But are we missing out on the aspect of measuring the well-being of employees? Because that can be very crucial, especially, you know, you work from home, productivity, or should I say work-life balance, goes out the window. What would your advice be on that?
Yeah, that's very interesting, because a lot of people actually, when they started working from home, they were much happier than they were like a month down the line, because then, you know, you're not just working from home, you're working amidst kids, you're working amidst so many other screens around you. So yes, well-being is critical, and that's why right now for companies to focus on the well-being of their employees is going to be more important than ever before. That's a critical element for organizations to track right now. Many companies didn't really focus on well-being before COVID-19, but right now, if they don't, I think they'll be missing out on critical data.
But do you think, you know, generally in Singapore, organizations, managers are doing a decent job of this work-from-home situation?
I think it's a mixed bag. There are some industries and some companies that have done a good job of evaluating where they stand. But definitely when it comes to understanding well-being better, I think there is a huge gap, even in Singapore, because to really see through the lens of well-being, oftentimes well-being can be confused with just, you know, physical health. But we are really talking about all the aspects, like what's your social well-being, what's your financial well-being, and each of these are being impacted by the organization and the decisions that are taken.
I mean, to be fair, you know, us Asians, we're very good at sort of hiding our pain, especially when it comes to work, because you just put in that you know, perspective that, you know, I need to do this for my salary and all that. As a manager, is organizing X number of, say, video calls or check-in calls, is that enough? Should I be looking at maybe my HR starting to engage more well-being assessments or having counselors on standby for that matter?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a time to enable managers with data, because think about the job of a manager, right? It wasn't easy even in an office setting. And today, like, managers are dealing with this whole remote work setting, which they were not ready for. So they do need support. So I think from an HR perspective, definitely giving managers data on employee engagement or well-being will determine how managers can action on it. Mm-hmm. But also giving them kind of trainings, right? Because think about what conversations they should have when they do video calls. How do they really set up the clarity for people that, okay, here's what I need you to do. How frequently do they manage performance? All of those open aspects, you know, lie in front of managers, which they've not handled remotely ever before. So they definitely need some trainings and tools to navigate through that.
Yeah, it's like now HR and managers have to be part psychologists as well. But that's the way of the world these days. I've been speaking with Kanika Singh, who is Regional Director, Southeast Asia and Japan for Gallup. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. You take care and stay safe, okay?
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.